to those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is the God Journey. I hope you had a chance to hear my conversation last week with Kevin Tupper, talking about money, its impact on our life, and how a growing engagement with God changes not only the way we view money, but also the way we utilize it. Hi, I'm Wayne Jacobson. I want to welcome you back to the God Journey. That conversation with Kevin went a lot longer than what I played for you last week. We got into a riff in the middle of that thing, particularly about how business models and ministry models from people who claim to have a different way of seeing God don't differ at all from the way the world does things. And why is that? And what would it change about our lives if we really trusted God as our resource and not having to monetize everything that God gives us to share with the world? And that got to be an interesting conversation, one I thought would be particularly of interest to the God Journey audience. Now, I pulled that out of last week's conversation. It was 30-some-odd minutes of a different conversation than one we were having. So I pulled it out, but I saved it, and I've got it here for you today. So I want to take you back to my conversation with Kevin Tupper and the part of the conversation that you missed. Most of the Christians we know, Christian business people, Christian for market publishers, whatever, you don't find in the long run they function any differently than the world functions.
No, not at all.
And that's alarming to me. Why isn't this engagement with God changing the way we live and work in the world?
Well, that's a good question. Is it really an engagement with God, or is it a mental understanding of business principles, or in this case, Christian principles?
Well, it's business.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same principles, but hoping now you put God on your side, so He's going to help you succeed even more than the world succeeds at that
right stuff.
But what you said earlier, I think, is really true. The world succeeds at a lot, and this is painting with a broad brush. I realize that it's not true of everybody, but the world systems that we engage profit a lot because of people's manipulations, duplicity, and exploitation of people's need.
Yeah.
People don't get successful most times in the world by being fair, honest, having integrity, doing what's right, treating customers as a genuine service. We do talk about it being service, but in the long run, it's more about I'm going to sell you what you really don't need to line my pocket and increase my scorecard.
Sure. And the Christian businessman, quote unquote, has those same sorts of issues that he deals with. When we say, you know, I'm going to operate my business according to godly principles for other people's good, but still, if the internal mechanisms that are driving them for profit motive are the world's mechanisms, it's no different because they do the same sorts of things in business that non-Christians do to achieve success, right? Does that make sense? I mean,
absolutely makes sense. It's
not right.
Yeah, I'm just responding to the word Christian because it just becomes so meaningless in a discussion like this. But I don't know about the difference between people who are engaging God as Father. You would think we'd live differently in the world. Our security would be in Him, thus not in our efforts. What we do business-wise, and it's not that we're not going to conduct business in the world because we will.
Right.
But would be more above board, fair. It would be more that kind of thing rather than we're just going to exploit whatever we've got to exploit to make the largest amount of money we can make.
Yeah. And I think those who are engaging with a relationship with God operate as you're discussing.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
But it's rare. I guess the point, it's so rare.
Yeah.
I think it's more common for people to feel like they're just doing what the world says you've got to do to be successful and hope God blesses their efforts.
And I think it's genuine in a lot of cases. It might more so be just that they don't know any different. You know, no one's ever come up to them and says, you know, do you really need to get everybody's email address that comes to your website so that you can monetize that and push something else to them?
Yeah. We talked about this the other day because I tell people, I don't think what I like to call institution creep, you know, Facebook starts as a way to help friends connect. That's what it was genuinely for. And then it got out so lots of friends who weren't even friends of the friends who started it could connect. And then it got to be this, you know, huge web presence that everybody got to connect with. And then it was, we've got to make money from this thing. So now how do we monetize your friendships. And
sure.
Then we listen in on your conversations and we sell you advertising. And now, and even because Facebook didn't do well in its IPO and they need to monetize even more, now the ads are becoming even more aggressively obscene on Facebook.
And deceptive.
And deceptive. And it, you wouldn't tolerate it anywhere else in your life. Like if you were at Starbucks having a coffee and a Starbucks waiter was sitting at your table to listen to your conversation, and if you mentioned a movie, he had a coupon for a nearby theater. And if you mentioned a book that was interesting, he's got a 5% discount at Barnes & Noble. We would go, get out of here, you creep. But because it's a computer doing it,
right,
and because it's a free service, I mean, it started out with wonderful intentions and became now it's a money-making machine that you have to hold your nose at how you're attempted to be exploited in terms of using the service. And yeah. I use the service. I stay linked to a lot of people through Facebook, but I never look at the ads on the right-hand column. I never even know what's on with it, which I know ticks them off. So now they're starting to put them in your news feed.
Yes.
So now you have to see them. And I think when I talk to a lot of people, a lot of quote-unquote churches, congregations began because 12 or 15 people got burned out in the big machine they were a part of. And we're just going to meet at home, be good friends, love Jesus. And then, boy, we got too big for the home, and so we need to get a building. And the kind of institution creep that comes into even our places of Christian community have the same dynamics to it. It becomes more and more exploitive as the need for the germ idea of really people following Jesus together got to be now we got to pay for a building and we've got to pay for staff and we need childcare workers. And then the institution creep of now we're doing things we didn't even set out to do. And we may not even be doing the thing we started to do anymore.
Our total mission has changed.
Now we've got a machine that yeah. owns us, and it owns the leaders as much as it owns the other people, I think. The system of those things exploits us more than even the intentional humans involved may actually be comfortable with.
Yeah, well, it takes over control. It's almost like the Matrix analogy is probably overused, but it's the machines have taken over.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and it's not even – we're not that far from it. And I'm concerned. I guess people don't have – I have this yuck factor. I get on a website, and they're gonna give me free stuff. They're going to say, I'm giving free this. And I'm going, okay, yeah, I'd like to hear that, right. see that, click on it. And then, oh, before you do, you need your email address, need this, need that. And you're going, really, you're going to give me something. Now you're not giving it to me anymore. You're actually bartering with me. Give me your email address,
yeah,
and I'll give you this free thing.
That's right. Because if I have your email address and 700,000 other people's email addresses, I am now the expert. And since I'm the expert, now I can charge more. And since I'm also the expert, I can probably spawn 4, 5, 6, 7 different products off my expertise.
Plus, I've got 700,000 people I can tap when I've got a new product.
Yeah, right.
I can tap when I've got something I want to say. Plus, and I've had people come to me at Livestream saying, you know, we'd like to buy your mailing list or rent your mailing list at 2 cents per email address, whatever. And even the more honorable people who want to do that, they have an opt-in service. So you actually,
right.
you're not tricking anybody. But the fact is, here's my yuck factor meter. My yuck factor meter goes off and says, what, people have come to Livestream because they've resonated with a message about God that's there and it's encouraged something in their own journey. And they've given me an email address because they've gotten a product from me or they've had a correspondence with me or whatever. Or they even want to stay in touch. Hey, let me know when you got a new newsletter out. Let me know a new podcast is up. Let me know. So you got these lists where you're serving people.
Right. You're helping out.
Yeah, somewhere. You're helping out. But then everybody else wants you to use that to help yourself out. You have all these people. You have all these email addresses. You have an audience we want to get to. So can we buy ads on your thing? And you go to some of these quote-unquote spiritually encouraging journey sites, and it looks like a NASCAR.
Oh, yeah.
55 ads when you land on the first screen. Yeah.
Would you like to name my first child? That'll be $17.50.
And there's 15 pop-up things about signing up for this list or that list. And all of a sudden, what I know about sites like that, it's not about the message anymore.
No, it becomes about influence and getting hits and building up a brand so that I can make money.
I think what Jack Grace said when I talked to him in New Zealand last year, he said that one of the things God said to him, if you want to be part of the church I'm building, You got to leave the one that's man's building. Now, that's not something we encourage on the podcast. Everybody needs to leave the traditional church thing. You leave when God calls you to leave. You stay if there's people for you to love and whatever. I'm not in, but I do to the heart of what he said. I mean, I think it was what God said to Jack Gray. Absolutely. And I think what he's saying, that if you want to be part of what God's building, you've got to stop building the way man builds. But you go to Christian workshops on podcasting, Christian workshops on building a website, on doing a mailing, whatever. It's the same principles being taught to the world. That's what it comes down to saying, why wouldn't it be different if we were part of a different kingdom?
That's a good question. I mean, the methodologies that most places teach are exactly the same that you would go to. You know, I want to build a successful Walmart,
right?
You know,
yeah.
or a drugstore or a bagel factory
fly fishing website. Yeah, I'm selling lures. Same thing as you selling books and whatever, and using the same. And it's not that websites are wrong and making available material. Even people selling books, I do all of that stuff. I'm in trouble with that. My question is, if we're trying to build our own brand, monetize our image, as you've said, there's something in me that says, I can't go there. And I've had people explain to me why going there is not a violation of anything godly.
That sounds a lot to me, by the way, like, did God really say?
Yeah, it does. But I just know it punches my yuck meter. My yuck meter goes up here and goes, you know what? I really don't need or want to do that.
I'll tell you, if you take me back 6 years ago, and I'm in the same situation of things I'm doing now, and someone says, Kevin, you know, we can really help you capitalize on what you're doing, and it'll influence more people. It'll help more people find truth. It'll help more people walk in a loving relationship with God. I'm all ears. Because it speaks to also the parts of me that say, ooh, you said I could influence more people. That means more people would be listening to me. You know, I'll be making more money. You know, so now that might not be running through right on my forehead, but in the top of my mind, but it's certainly going through in my subconscious. And I'm thinking, he's speaking my language, right? Because the old man is still in there, just the old thought patterns, the old ways of thinking. He's thriving, saying, ooh, I want to be admired. I want to be acknowledged. It's definitely better to have money than not have money.
I want to build huge statistics on my website, because then that's showing that I'm actually having impact for the kingdom. Yeah. There's so many ways to justify.
It validates who I am as a believer. My message is important. You know, I have something to say. I'm living in the truth. You know, I just read today from a friend of mine posted, I think it was one of on a blog site, but it was about Brother Lawrence, and it was about not doing important works. It's, you know, I flip my food. I can't remember it exactly, but it's like I flip my food for God's glory.
Wow.
Pretty plain, simple day. You know, when I change this diaper, I'm doing it for God. And we, for some reason, got so twisted thinking that it's not the mundane, it's the big, it's the powerful, it's the more influence, it's the cult of celebrity, from reality TV to publishing industry to the music.
Yeah, and since the Shaq,
I want to be that.
Since the Shaq thing I was a part of, the number of conversations I had in those 3 years of that going huge and us being a big part of it, I had so many people had ways they could help me jump on this celebrity experience and exploit it for something bigger. Even people just don't want to ride my coattails. I have a lot of that. I want to write something. I want to do something with you because I want to ride your coattail. And that's not what they'd ever say. But they're looking for a way to get influence beyond what they get. And the one scripture, honestly, I keep hearing over and over in my head is Jesus, when they're saying to him, why are you staying in Galilee? No one who wants to be a public person stays in Galilee. You go to Jerusalem. And it's like, Jesus didn't really answer that directly, but the real deal was, I'm not trying to be a public person. And for people in our age, who particularly if you want to sing, act, write, teach, lecture, whatever, what? That's just so the opposite. It is not about becoming less, that he becomes more. It's I can become more, and then I'll let Jesus ride my coattails, or I will do something good for Jesus while I'm doing that. We don't even have in our ear to say the whole arena of celebrity, the whole arena of capitalizing on whatever gift God's giving you should resound with a yuck factor that makes us seem creepy, that I would do something along those lines only if God made it absolutely clear. Not that I'm inclined that way anyway, because I would like to have more power, more influence, more money, more readers, more viewers, more sure. listeners, more. But I tell you, I meet so many, and a lot of people talk to me because of things I've been involved in the past, where they're saying, you must have the answers to this. And the reality is, I've never really promoted anything I've done other than I put it on a website. I make things available. I do books. They're out there. People can read them. Because it's not that I'm not tempted by those things, too. I have been tempted by everything we're talking about here, and I've made some poorer decisions in the past than I'm making today. But I now have a yuck factor that goes, you know what? I don't even think – I guess it's this. I don't think it even builds the kingdom. If Wayne was more popular, the kingdom of God would be greater in the world. I don't even believe that. It's not even something I'm tempted to anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's there's room for growth for me, man.
Oh, man, I just go, really? I guess because I see over time, I've seen how celebrity twists people. And I mean both. I mean the yeah. celebrity, and I mean people who chase celebrities, both. Or people who live vicariously through celebrity. But the quest for it, the desire to monetize it, to brand yourself, to take – if you just want to watch the big show here in America is American Idol every year, even though it's declining. But you watch young people who want to sing. Some of them can't, and they think they can, and that's a mess. But even some that really can sing, if you watch it over a season, what you watch happen is somebody with a gift becomes a commodity at the end of it for record producers to exploit.
Sure.
Not even necessarily singing the things they wanted to sing when they got started. Not necessarily even dress the way they feel comfortable dressing, but now you've got to tart, particularly if you're a woman, you've got to tart yourself up to draw viewers to what you do. And the compromises you make moving away from, well, it's my gift, and now I have more people, and they'll care about what I'm doing and singing. Now I can speak for Jesus, and some of them are Jesus speakers. But in the long run, you don't see that. See, I don't see it influence the kingdom of God. I see it twist them, and I see it twist the world who follows them.
Yeah, it creates its own dependency in the sense of who wins American Idol is the one who the world most votes for.
Yeah,
right. So okay, so this person's a spokesperson, but now I'm following this person because I'm interested in their career. Oh, that's the one I voted for,
and what they're doing,
I'm glorying in this person's success, and it has no change in my life whatsoever.
And what they're doing and the songs they're singing, we're not geared because that's what I really want to do or really think is valuable in the world, but it's what you'll vote for.
Yeah, it's who they were crafted to be by the producers and the handlers.
I get that from the computer now. I got a thing at the end of the year. Somebody sent me a computer from a website sent me my most listened to and referred to blogs for the past year. And at the end of it, it said, you need to do more blogs along these lines to grow your brand. Now,
yuck.
There's a part of me that goes, wow, yeah, I should. And then the yuck factor kicks in going, oh, so now I'm not writing things I think are valuable anymore. My goal has not become the kingdom of God in the world. My goal has become Wayne Jacobson's visibility in the world.
You know, I was just reading this morning in John chapter 5, and Jesus says to that when he's that passage where he says you come to the scriptures and think you'll find life in them, but you refuse to come to me. And he says you don't believe because you receive glory from one another, and that's what you're talking about right there. Is I'm looking for glory from somebody else, right?
Yeah.
I don't want the glory that only comes from God and to rest in His glory and that He's going to be the famous one. His relationship. And instead, you know, I'm looking for, okay, what can I write that's going to move an audience because I want to, quote unquote, help them. But it's so subtle because really, you know, before you got that letter or email, you were thinking about, well, what's God putting on my heart to write about? Well, now that orientation is God. Now you're saying, well, what's on my audience's heart to hear about? And that's a totally different question. And one is going to feed you, the other's not.
Absolutely. And that's where it all gets exploited. And so, yeah, there's a part of me when I read that going, oh, I should blog on that more. And then I'm going, okay, so the purpose is I'm going to drive a bigger audience to Wayne Jacobson. How does that free God to be in the world in a greater way? Well, because Wayne has a message that needs to be heard. And, I mean, you can have – we've all had these discussions with ourselves. At the end of the day, if the influence I have in the world is a gift God gives instead of something Wayne manipulates, that's where it becomes true. And why people who write a book and it sells 10,000 copies or 5,000 copies, now that you feel like a failure because it sold 5,000 copies, because the standard is 30,000, 50,000, 300,000, 2 million, whatever you're... I had a writer tell me one time, I've got some of these books going to sell a million copies. Really, I don't think God talks in those stupid ways. I really don't. And the book never did, never got close to it. And I can tell you, in reading it, it's not ever going to sell a million copies. It's for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is it's really trying to be honest and truthful. And books that are honest and truthful don't really climb to that scale of thing.
Yeah. It's interesting because if you look at Jesus and you look at the apostles and many of his early followers, following Jesus meant a pretty lowly life. Even among Christians, even among other followers in that time, you know, Paul planted all these churches and he wasn't necessarily well liked, it seems, from right. some of his letters.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so why do we think today in our age that it's really going to be any different? Why do we think, well, now I need to present a Jesus that is fashionable in a sense to speak to people and build a large and large audience, and I'm going to be well liked because of it. You know, now I'm not saying we're ready to go be crucified or anything like that, but I don't think the message of God necessarily will sell to the world in the same way that we hope it will to build our own influence and position and everything.
Well, because
does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because there's a Christian marketplace people
yes.
are trying to exploit. So they don't feel like, gosh, I'm not writing things that are horrible. I'm just trying to serve this Christian audience. But
right.
I had a writer say to me I have a lot of interesting experiences with writers. One that's saying to me, I'm working on the story. Can you help me? You know, what should we do with this story to make it a bestseller? And I looked at him and I said, is that your goal? I said, well, what do you mean? Is that your goal to be a bestselling author? Well, yeah. Why do you want to be a bestseller? I said, what do you mean? It gets the message out of you. No, you're not talking about a message now. You're talking about what book will sell well. So you're not even talking about a message now you want to write. You're talking about how do I make this book a bestseller? He said, well, I guess I want the financial security. Of having a bestseller. I said, okay, now.
It's honest.
Yeah, very honest. But then if that's what you want to do, and then I guess go do that, but don't pretend it's about the kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
I had another author in here that actually was, you know, he came to my home living a sinful lifestyle while he's in my home. Things come to fore. I'm going, my goodness, I'm not even sure. And I said, Ellen, I said, how do you write books out there that people are reading, people I love are reading and think very highly of, you're not even living what you're writing about. He said, I think you misunderstand. I said, what do I misunderstand? He said, you think I'm trying to live this stuff. I'm trying to find something to market to the Christian audience.
Wow. But that's probably real true.
Wonderfully honest, but it didn't stop him from what he's doing. He's still trying to figure out how to exploit a marketplace for his financial security. He's not passionate about putting something in the world that builds the kingdom of God in the world.
Well, that's interesting. We talk about the institution of the church versus the church visible, the church invisible. You know, the Christian marketplace is not the church. It's not God's church. That's not the bride of Christ. And that's what's being exploited. And unfortunately, for those of us who are still on the journey, there's this great temptation to speak to that side of the audience because that's the side that's profitable, right?
Yeah.
The yuck factor is going off all over the place on the bride of Christ, and so they're not the ones buying it.
Well, and I think that's true. That's why I think we read it last night. You were part of our Sarah and my reading through John, and John the Baptist thing, I must decrease and he must increase. We quote that all the time. I think that's bedrock to the heart of the kingdom. The more people know Wayne Jacobson and want to hang on every word Wayne Jacobson says, the less they're listening to God. Because once you hear him, then whatever Wayne Jacobson's saying is not nearly as significant.
No.
Nice
to hang out with Wayne Jacobson.
Yeah, that's fine. I've lots of friends. Love that. But when people say, I don't listen to your podcast much anymore, I listen to it a lot going on. I don't listen anymore because I've gone on a different journey with Jesus and it didn't fill the same place in my heart that it did when I got started. And honestly, when Brad and I started this thing, that was what was on our heart. Let's have a conversation that hopefully within a year or two, a person is going to say, gosh, I hear the same conversation a lot. I think I'm going to move on. And if they just move on to a different podcast, I don't know that that we gained anything. I hope that it moved on to a conversation with Jesus that became so much more real, and engagements with other brothers and sisters that became life-changing, because that's how the kingdom grows in the world. The kingdom doesn't grow because there's five or six key Christian podcasters that get the right message out there and the right people listening to.
And listen to them over and over again, as opposed to actually living a life with God.
Yeah, that the Colossians 2 scripture where I told you to right before we started this podcast. I love when Paul says, stop reading. Stop doing it. It's a message, but it's just a great way. You've read enough. You've learned enough. Go live this life. Yeah. Go live it, because that's where the world gets changed. It doesn't get changed by certain people vying to be spokesmen in the world. And we didn't got to all the monetizing and all the visibility issues is basically a competitive industry.
Yes.
You are benefiting at someone else's cost. You're drawing audience to you away from other people. And I've got to have a better website than you do. I've got to manage it better than you manage yours, or whatever. It's all competitive. And I think there's something about the kingdom that invites us into the generosity of the Father, and that everything we have is a gift. And even if I have a book that really resonated with a lot of people and did well, it's because God gave a gift, not because Wayne is something special or someone special.
Yeah. And the mindset we have is the scarcity idea of that, well, once this gift is gone, he might not give me another gift and provide for me again. So I've got to monetize or milk or get everything I can from this one and then store it up.
Oh, when people,
as opposed to just live in the free flowing love and goodness of God, of a creative God who is continually there, continually willing my best.
Yeah, and people who love God as best they know to do will tell you that at any moment something good happens in your life, you now need to take this and build your celebrity on this for God and His kingdom. And that's those sycophant people that end up around celebrity people who really, and the only reason they're saying that stuff is because they want to draft in the monetary return of that thing.
A good leech.
Yeah, they are great leeches. And all the management people that surround celebrities, just say whatever the celebrity needs to hear. Go make more money. Go sell something else. Go sell a lock of hair. Steal somebody's children's book and put your name on it and sell that. And just build your brand. This is good for you, good for the kingdom. And I just, where's the yuck factor? Why isn't there something in us that goes,
ew?
But I think what you said, I love what you said, in the real bride of Christ, in the real people of God, I think that happens, is already happening. Lots of people go, yuck.
Yeah.
And when you open that website with the 50 ads down the side and all the pop-up stuff trying to manipulate you, I think most people go, yuck. But then the next step is, but everybody's doing it, so I guess it's okay. And I guess if I want to say anything at the upshot of this podcast is, trust the yuck factor. Just trust when your yuck factor meter goes off and you're saying, that could be God taking you a different direction than, yes, the way the world always does it.
Yeah. Resistance is a good thing to question.
But like the Borgs, resistance is futile every time I hear that. It seems to be futile, but I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that someone's been teaching me that I've been walking with for a little bit, is that when resistance comes up in my life, ask why it's there. Why am I either resistant to something that God's inviting me to, or resistant to something maybe that God is saying don't do?
I talk about it being restless. There's a restlessness. I think because I'll get a letter from somebody going, I feel like God's saying this to me, and I just had 50 religious doctrine police from the club come down and tell me how evil I am, and now they're in this bag of fear and torment and all that, and they're going, I don't know what I should do. I said, well, where did you last have peace before they came? What was God showing you? God was showing me this. I think that's Him. I think the doctrine police come in and kind of get you all fearful and thinking, who are you to hear from God? And then we chuck what we already know to be true. And resistance to even voices that claim to carry God's heart but don't, because they've created a restlessness in you. If the peace of Christ is our umpire, as Paul said,
right,
then I'm going to follow peace. So where's peace leading me? And it's not going to lead me down to the pressures and manipulation, either of celebrity who want to use me as an audience, or even doctrine police who want to manipulate me into a religious way of viewing God. Peace is going to lead me down a path that takes me inside who God is more, and it's going to make me one that's going to less want to exploit people around me.
Yeah.
And use my stuff to do that.
And, you know, that obviously peace being a fruit of the Spirit, that comes from a loving relationship with God. I mean, as we're resting in His love, in His goodness, in His security, peace flows. It's a natural byproduct of trust and growth in God.
Yeah, it is. And when we've come to rest in Him, and I love this discussion. People are going to hear more about it from me going forward. We've talked about it a lot in the last couple of days. I do think Jesus created a new creation in the world. He inserted the kingdom of God here.
Right.
And it's not about the systems of this world, whether they're religious systems, economic systems, political systems. Jesus didn't come to reform human systems. He came to teach us how to live differently. And we can live in that reality of the new creation. We can live in that, even in a world that totally, that you'll get taken advantage of if you live that way. But you can live that way inside the generosity of an amazing Father and be at peace in this world. And I think that's what God's inviting us into. And even the distinctions I made between religious and relationship with God is less about those two things than it is, are you really part of a new creation in which you're living, learning, thinking differently than the world works? If your Christianity is just leaving you still in the world like the world, I like this analogy. It works for me. I'm a Mac guy. And the last time they did a major updraft of the Mac system, went from Mac 9 to Mac 10, the operating system changed everything. Programs wouldn't work on it that worked on it before. And I really began to see that somewhat in a lot of my life, Christianity or Jesus principles or the life of Jesus tried to run as a program on the old operating system of Wayne's self.
Yeah.
And so Christianity comes along or Christian writing or whatever. And I'm just now using this system for what benefits Wayne. But the new creation, it's a whole new operating system. It's not running the life of Jesus on the old self operating system. It's coming alive in Christ with a growing trust in Him. Now, a lot of the things that used to work for me don't work for me anymore. It's not that I can't make them work in the world. I can. They don't work for me because
it's not who you are.
I don't have the heart to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that goes, if we want to go all the way back to the beginning when I was saying when we left the Amway business, that's exactly what happened. I was not, there was no religious group or a conformity-based organization that I was part of that was saying lying is wrong. You know, you shouldn't be doing this and speaking about these things the way you are. It was something that the Holy Spirit put inside. You know, when you've come to this new creation, there's a new seed in your life. It is a new operating system. And you still got the old sitting there that you're working on. But this is birthing forth life, you know, not death. It's birthing forth life, bringing forth life. And so I just, you know, just that inner voice just said, you know, you can't do this. Let's get out of this. This is not working. This is not, this is destructive. It's destructive to you. It's destructive to those around you. And it was a, you know, it's a gentle walk, but God's a gentle leader.
Yeah, He is. He is. He's able to give us and that's what I was talking about with somebody the other day, this new creation, how you live differently. You live off generosity instead of competition.
Right.
And a lot of things like that we talk about, but it's not a matter of living principles. Until you trust God's love enough, you're going to live by the systems of the world because that's what works in the human effort paradigm. But as you get to know that you're loved and that you can trust Father for things that you've been struggling with to produce for yourself all your life, now you can come to rest. Now you can come to peace. And there's a different kind of fruitfulness that emerges from that reality than all the human effort we try to do for ourselves. And I think that's what makes this journey a hoot. And if we're going to talk about the greater gathering and community, it's conversations with those kind of people that's real community. Just to get a collection of Christians together where half of them are still naturally minded and want to push for all these human system kinds of things because we've got to do something, I find no joy in that. But if it's people in the room that are learning to live in the new creation, then the conversations, they're very different. There are people trying to convince each other, not people trying to manipulate each other. It's people genuinely loving and serving each other.
Yeah.
I want to be more part of that. I don't know about you, but I do.
Absolutely.
Man, I enjoy that kind of discussion so much, especially because it's not all wrapped up in a nice little bow with lots of principles that are going to make it work. And if that's what you heard and what Kevin and I talked about, you can toss it away. I just want to fill in a couple of things here at the end of this podcast before we release it. And I'm doing this about 3 weeks afterwards with very little voice, as you can tell. I thought about waiting till tomorrow, but I'm not sure I'll have any more voice tomorrow, and I may have less, so I thought I'd get it in now. But I want to come back to a discussion just about some of the things we shared and share a couple of things. One, this is an ongoing place in our journey. If you've seen live stream stuff over the years, you've noticed that we've had this thing between what do we give away for free and how we can do that on the web. Whether it's God Journey, Transitions, Jesus Lens, Engage, or even my travel and being with people, there's an awful lot we do just to give stuff away. There's still a few things that we sell for people who can afford it and want to buy a book or a DVD or whatever. Those things kind of help us. But I'll be honest, none of those things really offset what we do here. If it wasn't for the generosity of God dealing with Sarah and me, and if it wasn't for people who are alongside us at various stages of this. I love the email or letter I'll get from somebody who's just posted a contribution to Livestream or something and just say, man, I've loved the Jesus Lens or I've loved Transitions. It has so helped my life and I just want to bless you to help kind of keep these things going. I tell you, without that generosity in the world, I'm really not sure where we'd be. I think the old kingdom is trying to figure out how we provide for ourselves. And I think the new kingdom, there's a sense of generosity, and generosity begets generosity, and the sharing and caring of what we give away and help people with and how people give back who are grateful is an important part of how this process unfolds. And it's much more fun watching generosity take root in people's lives than it is having to charge people and having to scheme about how we make this happen or having contracts for my speaking engagements and commitments up front to stuff being paid. We've been able to find a bit of a sweet spot. Do I think we're fully there? I hope not. I hope there's more to learn. I hope we're still growing in that reality. But I know it's an ongoing thing, particularly for those of you that have a creative bent, whether it's in music or film or writing or whatever. And boy, everybody would love to make their living off their passion, off their art, off their creativity. We've talked about it before. Sometimes we fall victims to self-provision. But I know there's just no way for people think, gosh, an author, you make enough money to live off your books. And no, most authors don't. We've had obviously some big things in recent years that have helped us be in a space that's wonderfully freeing. But for 15 years of this journey, Sarah and I literally live month to month, hand to mouth, just whatever God provided. And we've always been grateful for those people who were a part of that with us and just wanted to take this moment to express thanks to them and an encouragement. You know, if you've been touched by things, and I don't mean here, we don't have an ongoing need at Livestream at the moment for people to send us money. But if you have people who've touched your life and God kind of puts it on your heart, and it's not like I need to pay back everybody for what I've gotten, but generosity begets generosity. And then I really wanted to cut in to say this. For those of you who've been involved with us and the orphans in Kenya and caring for them, we've now finished building an orphanage 2 years ago. We have supported it, all the staff, food, clothing, all the kids' needs for the last 2 years. And we've had a lot of contributions to help offset that. But we've always given more to it than has come in from other folks. But for those of you who have given, we're really, really grateful. But from the beginning, we've said to these brothers and sisters over there a couple of things. One, let's think beyond orphanages. Let's think about getting kids in homes with families. And primarily it has to be Kenyans, but unfortunately, many families can't afford to feed the mouths they already have. And so taking in other children just is overwhelming. And the other thing we've talked about is not creating dependency on the West so that we become their resource. We've been a conduit of God's generosity to them over the last 5 or 6 years. We may continue that for a season, but we've also prayed about find something. And they have. We've looked at a number of possible business ventures over the last couple of years. We've been in prayer with them about it, look at feasibility, what we can and can't do. And they've finally landed on something that they're convinced that God's given them this insight. And it's they've been able to procure some land on a main road not far from the orphanage and are putting in a service station there, a petrol station. There's not one on that stretch of road for miles, even though it's a main run. And there's a new regional government center going in nearby, kind of a motor pool arena that will not have its own service station abilities. So they've talked to this group about providing fuel for them. The upshot of it is this. If we can help them put in that service station, the profits from the service station will easily care for the needs of the orphanage. And in fact, the orphanage will in fact be the owners of it. And the operators of it, the administrator there is going to help operate it. It'll provide jobs in the area, which are desperately needed for some of the brothers and sisters. But it will also allow the prophet to be able to care for the orphans themselves so that this doesn't become dependent on something elsewhere. This becomes part of God's provision through them. What we've offered to do for them is to help with the investment of that $72,000 U.S. at 6.12 million Kenyan shillings. Boy, that sounds like a lot of money. Really, we've been spending $3,000 a month to help feed and care the orphans. So this is really 2 years' worth of support. If we can find that in the next few weeks, we'll generate all that they need to help provide for these kids in the orphanage as it goes forward. And I asked this week, there are new kids coming into the orphanage. I mean, there's an ongoing problem in this part of Kenya. So I'll let you know that. Be more details on a link at the bottom of the blog. If you would like to help with that, we would sure enjoy your input with us as we tag that. Again, all the funds that come in for these kinds of things overseas, we don't even take expense money out for putting the transaction through or paying the transaction fee. LifeStream covers all that. So every dime that you send to us is going to go directly to benefit these orphan kids in Kenya and the brothers and sisters that help care for them. So I wanted to let you know that, and if you can be a part of it with us, please feel free to do so.
Thank you for traveling with us on The God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.